Our Bible reading today is taken from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you." The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sister Michelle. Resurrection of Jesus is historically the foundation of the Christian church. It is appealed to as the most certain fact. It is certain. And this fact, the resurrection of Jesus, it can confirm many other truths. This, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the central event of our faith. It is at the heart of what we believe as Christians. Some people like saying, we are the people of hope. We are the results of resurrection. We are post-resurrection people. And so for us, the resurrection of Jesus is at the center of our faith. We live because Jesus lives. Some writers even say one of the evidences or proofs that Jesus died is the existence of the Christian church. Because what used to happen is if a religious leader died, his institution or body or whoever had started to follow that leader, they will just vanish. It will be the end of that kind of an organization. But the fact that Jesus died, Jesus rose again, we are still alive, this for us is the evidence that Jesus Christ is indeed alive. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the center of my faith. It is at the center of what I believe as a Christian. And so what actually the resurrection of Jesus Christ says or mean is that life and not death has the final word. Maybe you have asked yourself, why are you here today? Some of you were here yesterday. We had the remembrance service. You were here. Some of you were here on Friday for Good Friday. Some of you have been here for the last odd years. Some of you cannot even remember when you started following Jesus and going to church. And my question is, come on, guys. Is it not enough? For how long have you done church? Have you not heard enough already? Are you not satisfied with the truth you have listened to? Are you waiting for something different? But I think the truth is, it's because you are a person of resurrection. Because resurrection is at the center of what you believe. You believe that every time you avail yourself to the messages of God, there is newness, there is something new that is born in you. Hence, resurrection is at the center of our belief because you are here, because you have been resurrected, and you hope that there is a kind of resurrection that is going to happen to you today. After Sabbath, towards dawn, the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, They went to visit the tomb. They went to do that which the Jews did for their dead loved ones, to anoint the body. Jesus had already been anointed by the other Mary at Bethany, who was preparing him for his death. And now he is being anointed again by Mary. They went to the grave because love cannot abandon its object, living or dead. And the two women are going to the tomb because of the love they have for Jesus. Their object of love is Jesus, and they cannot abandon their object of love. At the time when they went to the tomb, there was darkness with all its threats. But there was also a vague promise of light. In that darkness, there was also a vague promise of light, as if someone had kindled fire far below an eastern horizon. Although it was dark, it was a great dawn. Something was being born. A new daybreak in human history. A day which changed the age-long institutions people had made. Death had done its work and now was vanquishing. What death thought it had done, it was now time for death to give up, because life was taking over. I want to give you another reason why you are here today. It is because you want life to take over in your death situations. And in the resurrection of Jesus, life was taking over. Death had failed, had not won. But life, Jesus himself, who according to the Gospel of John is life, he came that life may have life and have in all its fullness, he was taking over. Let us go into that garden where Jesus' body was laid. There by the grave, the writer says there was a great earthquake. This is not the first time we read and hear about the earthquake in the stories of Jesus. When Jesus died, when he was crucified, the world became dark. There was an earthquake. The graves were opened. And again, on the first day of the week after his death, there is earthquake. While one of the causes of earthquake is explosive volcanic eruption, this one, on his day of resurrection, this earthquake was a royal trumpet to proclaim the victory of Christ, the greatest victory ever obtained against the enemy, the greatest victory ever obtained against evil. And there was an earthquake in the world. But also, if you go back to the crucifixion of Jesus, there was earthquakes. The graves were opened because the Son of Man was being crucified. But here, the earthquake is a result of the stone that was being rolled away from the grave. When Christ died, the creation, it responded to what was happening. And today, the creation plays partners with Jesus, with God, in taking Jesus out of that grave. But you also have angels in this story. Angels' appearances had always been accompanied by greatest events in the history of the chosen people. When Christ was born, there was an angel. At his temptation, the writer says, and the angels were there to worship Jesus. In his hour of agony, the angels were there. And now we have got angels guarding the tomb of Jesus Christ, proving that indeed Jesus was well pleasing unto his Father and was raised by God. we have the presence of the angels. But not only that, the angels also spoke to this woman who had come to the grave. And the first thing they say is, do not be afraid. Are you looking for Jesus, the one who was crucified? He is not here. Do not be afraid. You see an empty grave, do not be afraid. You think he is still here, do not be afraid. Because the one you are looking for is not here. He has risen. The angel is commanding this woman to reject their current state of fear. The angel here is echoing the words of Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice in it. Do not be afraid. We live in a country where each and every new day smells, sounds, and feels like yesterday. Every day we wake up, it feels like we are carrying the burdens of the previous day. Every day people get into a new relationship, they move into a new relationship with the burdens of the previous relationship. But the angels here, they say, this is a new day. It's a new day of the week. This day has been made by God. Rejoice in it. Do not be afraid. Life for us, we take it so lightly that every day we wake up, we think, come on, it's another day. Instead of rejoicing and say, wow, what an opportunity for new resurrection. Because it's a day made by God. But why did this Jesus, sick Jesus, these people, why did this woman go to the tomb? What's so special about a dead body? Why do you continue to love someone who is dead already? Why did they not just end by being there on the cross, witness his crucifixion? Why are they here now? It is because Jesus had sought them. Jesus had found them. Jesus had touched their heart. And so even death had no power of separating them from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. And so the angel here invites the woman, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and be witnesses. Come and see. Come and satisfy yourself that the body of Christ is no longer in its resting place. Some people say one of the reasons why the grave of Jesus was open like that, it was not for Jesus to come and leave the grave, but it was for the witnesses to come and see that there is nothing. Yes, the angel rolled the stone away for Jesus to come back to life, but not only that, but the stone was rolled away, the grave was left open so that the witnesses can see that indeed there is nothing in the grave, so that they can know that Jesus is not dead anymore. The woman invited to come and see, to realize their union with Jesus and Jesus' nearness to them. Come and see and realize that the union you had with Jesus, it's still alive, and how much Jesus is near to you. And the tomb was empty. Indeed, Jesus is Lord. And because the tomb was empty and that Christ rose again, we can say that there is no scar without a blessing. There is no sorrow without joy. And that's what keeps the Church of Christ alive today. To know that no matter what we go through, there is no scar without a blessing. There is no sorrow without joy. The finger of God touches the mighty nightmares. And when they are touched by the finger of God, they move. Even the mightiest nightmares, once touched by the finger of God, they move. The mercy of God creates people anew in Jesus Christ. The mercy, the forgiveness of God, how God reconciles with God's peoples, it creates people anew in Jesus Christ. Listen to one of the things the angel says to this woman. Go and tell his disciples that Jesus has gone ahead to meet them in Galilee, because the mercy of God creates people anew. The disciples who had abandoned Jesus Christ, when Jesus rises, he walks ahead of them and wishes to meet them at Galilee, as if Jesus wanted to say, My ministry started in Galilee. Let us go back and start afresh. Let us go back and be friends again. And when people meet the resurrected Jesus, that is the true power of resurrection. When even those who had been lost, those who had had their eyes blind for years, when they are open to the truth that Jesus is alive, it's the true power of resurrection. A comfort to the bereaved, comfort to the persecuted, comfort to the lost. Jesus lives today to be our friend, to be our guide. Ours is a living faith in a living Savior. Ours is a living faith in a living Savior. Let me tell you this story, and we're going to go into a time of prayer. An elderly Christian man was taken to a plaza by the Red Army when the communist Korea took over the North. Trying to create fear among the people, this army, they beat the old man, forcing him to denounce Jesus in front of many people. But as he was repeatedly beaten up, he exclaimed, "Jesus, Jesus." As he was beaten up, he did not denounce Jesus, but continued to say, "Jesus." After a while, his beaters stopped and asked this old man, "How come each time we hit you, you always exclaim the word Jesus?" The old man replied, "My life is full of Jesus. In any way you hit me, Jesus will always come out because Jesus is alive in me. Wherever you beat me, Jesus will always come out. When you beat me on my leg, the name of Jesus just sprang like that. When you beat me on my head, on my chest, on my finger, Jesus just comes out. That is because Jesus is alive in me." And that's the kind of the Christian attitude that attracts people to Christ. When we Christians are beaten up by the sufferings, by the trials of this world, whenever we are beaten up, Jesus comes out because Jesus is alive in us. And St. Paul says, if you have risen with Christ, those who died with Jesus and are resurrected with Jesus Christ, maintain the spiritual life. Let Jesus always come alive in you, whether in joy or sorrow. St. Paul says, those who have been resurrected with Jesus, seek things above where Christ is. Those who are alive with Jesus and in Jesus, lift your eyes from the clouds of the earth and gaze into the face of our Creator. Lift your eyes, take your eyes from the surface. And David says, I lift up my eyes up to the mountains, but is it where my help comes from? No, it comes from the Lord, from the Creator. If you know that in your life, there is an area of your life that is dead, dead, dead in the true sense of the word, and who you would like Jesus to resurrect you. If I am a jealous person and for years I have struggled with that, I know I want to change. If I am an unforgiving person and for years I have struggled with that, I know I need to change. If I am a greedy person, some people are poor around me because I am greedy, and I know I need to change. I need to be resurrected from that. Let's use this day. Let's not just let the day of resurrection go in vain, disappear into thin air without Christians responding to this day of resurrection and say, on the day of Jesus' resurrection, may I also rise from the dead. May I also be a person. Now take yourself straight to the giver of life, that is Jesus, the one who raised Lazarus from dead, the one who is our hope for our own resurrection. Slowly go into a mirror. Look at yourself. What do you want to be resurrected from? What changes would you like to see in your life? It can be business as usual. It can't be. Where in your life would you like to change?